Good morning, everyone. Today I am recording an episode from Philadelphia. I just finished up attending the annual conference for NAIS, which is for independent school teachers, their annual conference. And I randomly, the first episode I want to share about that whole conference stems from an opportunity I had after hearing Angie Thomas, the author of The Hate U Give. I was sitting to get my book copy signed by the author, and I ended up getting in line behind a woman that was a teacher from Vermont, and we kind of queued up just like we would for a, you know, big rock concert or something, some awesome event. We decided to get in line early to get our autograph from the author. And we struck up conversation and ended up having a really good discussion about a variety of things as we sat and waited. But what I wanted to share was the result of a question that she asked me during our discourse. She asked me what class I would teach if I had complete control over curriculum, like what would be my dream class. And I stumbled and I mumbled and I didn't have a great answer at the time. And so since then, I've been thinking about my response and I want to share kind of what that thought is. The irony of the question is that recently I've been involved with some interviews of candidates for hire at my school. And I've been asking that exact same question. So I've been asking people, if you had a choice of an elective, what would it be that you'd offer to our students? And each candidate has offered a really good solution. They've all had something that they had in mind or have taught in the past that they'd like to bring back. And I've always been satisfied with their answer. But while I asked that question of candidates, I never had my own answer, as clearly demonstrated yesterday when I mumbled through my answer. What my answer was yesterday when this wonderful person asked me the question was that I'd probably teach a non-AP version of economics, one that is more accessible to all students and that talked more about business and finance and kind of was more all-encompassing. And I knew after I said it, I was like, that's not really what it is that I'd probably offer. And so, like I said last night when I, you know, was on my own going out to an awesome dinner, I was sitting there thinking about my answer, and it's continued to evolve since then. But I'm going to share kind of my thoughts about what it would be. So at first I thought, well, maybe I should have said a geography class because I've taught standard geography in the past and students have really engaged with that material. Again, non-AP, accessible for all, not tied to an AP curriculum. And so you don't have to do the width, you could do more of the breadth. And so I thought, okay, maybe that's what I'll end up doing. Then I thought maybe I should do an urban geography class because that's probably my favorite unit of geography or culture unit, you know, really could elaborate into a whole semester long class. And so I thought, you know, either of those would be kind of cool electives to offer students. But what I settled on is a course that I would call Citizens of the World. And that's inspired by one of my former colleagues who used to start her World History 2 class by saying, "Welcome, citizens of the world." And she would say that every single day. And it always resonated with me because she's clearly stating her objective is to make these students aware that they're citizens of the world and also to have them rooted in a connection to history. And so I think I would frame something around that concept. And I would start there and decide what major units or what I'd want them to know. You know, another thought I had at this conference is, what does a portrait of a graduate really look like in my current department? We have a nicely written paragraph about all the skills that they have by the end of our school, our time together. It's a nice, you know, skill list and kind of paints a nice picture. But I started wondering during the conference, like, who is it? Who is it that I've taught that I can point to and say, yep, that's the portrait of the graduate that we ideally make coming out of this program. Yep, that's it. That's the way that they approach the world. This is the way they discuss issues and handle conflict and have a wide perspective on different issues and can articulate their thoughts. I kept thinking, what is that portrait? And that's what took me back to an elective course where I would go, all right, these are the things at a foundational level that I really want students to know. And it includes the cliche soft skills as well. I think that soft skills now are more embedded in our classes than we realize. But in this case, I would really try to make sure that the course was interdisciplinary. It wouldn't just be history. It wouldn't just be geography. It wouldn't just be economics. It would make sure that I had everything. I would have the class rooted in history, but made relevant with current events discussion, kind of, you know, what the students bring to the table and what could come from active discussion. But I think it would also involve some serious inquiry or self-discovery by the students of what topics they want to learn about. You know, what event in history, what event in, you know, an economic crisis, or what event in cultural change would students want to dig deeper in? And what could we do to help them put context? I was talking the other day about one of the things I love about geography is that we do things in general themes or topics, and we go from the start to the finish. So we can teach a topic from the beginning. You know, say I'm talking about development of clothes and how clothing has changed and how we get to fast fashion. It would be neat to go back in history and talk about the need for clothes, societal norms of clothes over time, thinking about even undergarments and how that's morphed over time and the expectation of what people wear and who sets those expectations culturally. And so I think about how cool it is to have courses where it starts with something, a big theme, and we can get deeper, and encouraging students to do that. I'm a big fan of independent studies. I think that when done right, students could really, really make the most out of an independent study, because if they set the course of their learning, I think they're more motivated, more engaged, have that buy-in that is often something that you need in order to be the most effective in a class. And so I like to think that the Citizens of the World class would be something where students would really find their topic at some point and go with it, with the proper framework of, okay, it has to be something that views different perspectives. I think oftentimes we think about looking at issues from other cultural lenses. I think we often look at things in a Eurocentric approach or an American approach and forget about the complexities of issues that would come from other cultures. And that's why I think something like this, where it's Citizens of the World, making sure that we don't stop looking at other perspectives, that we don't think, okay, what would it be to examine this current event from a Saudi perspective, from an Indian perspective, from an Australian perspective? You know, what is it that would change from that? Another key question I heard during the conference that ties into this whole curriculum dream is this idea of, do you know how it is to be a student from various cultures at your school? And when asked that question by one of the keynote speakers, I immediately had to admit to myself, I have no idea what it would be like to attend my school where I currently teach from a different perspective, from a different culture. I don't know. As much as my last episode was about, you know, shadowing students and how that experience was for me, I can't say that I could really look at it from various cultures. I'm not sure I really even have a realistic view of what it's like for the average student, but certainly somebody from a minority culture would be an interesting perspective to gain. and something that I think with more research and more insight would be a good addition to knowledge we have about our student culture. But ultimately, I think that one of the reasons I wanted to share this question by this woman was that I realized I stopped dreaming. Somewhere along the line, I started to ask other people to dream. I was asking these interviewees to share their dream, but somehow I'd stopped dreaming. And that's going to be kind of my new thing again, is to dream a little bit more, to add more creativity back in my classroom, to make sure that while I may not start this new class anytime soon, I'm using aspects of what I want from that elective or that dream course. I want to embed that into my current courses, and I want to allow more opportunities for that self-discovery, for that reflection of various cultures, for that full story from beginning to end, not just a snapshot that lines up directly with the AP curriculum and is efficient as possible and, you know, meets the objectives that I need to teach in the next 2 weeks. And you know, sometimes I feel like I'm on a rat wheel or a hamster wheel, not a rat wheel, a hamster wheel, and that I might be going so fast that I wonder when it's going to stop, other than, you know, summer, but kind of going through the motions and teaching lessons that may not have as much of those dream outcomes as I want. You know, I think we do good work. I think that in my classroom, students are engaged, people are learning from one another and respectful of one another's opinions. But I think that I overlook some stuff as well. I overlook some tendencies in the classroom that I need to be more direct about. And so really this question reminds me that I need to keep dreaming. One thing that I did last night is I started a new Google Doc and called it my dream course. And while I may never teach that dream course, it allows me to throw ideas at the wall and see if they stick. And it's something that I can always go back to and kind of see if my dreams have morphed and if my dreams will ever come true in terms of that curriculum. So I encourage all of you to do the same. All of us serve in different roles. But I think to dream up a class and to kind of think that what if is always something that would be really neat. The other thing is I thought about asking some of my students before they leave what would have been a dream course for them. What would have been that class that they would never have hesitated to enroll in, no matter who taught it, no matter what the books were, no matter what the requirements were. What would that dream class have been that without a doubt they would have signed up for before they graduated? And so I encourage you guys to do something similarly and to maybe have a different view of how we approach curriculum. And especially if you're at an independent school and you have the opportunity to maybe design some of these outside the box classes like this, I encourage you to do something similar. I think that all of it kind of energizes us, and maybe we are teaching our dream course. Maybe at the end of it all, many of you are like, I'm already doing it, and there's why. I'd love to hear that as well. So again, let's not stop dreaming. I think our students deserve it, and I want to thank the person that hung out with me yesterday in line and was able to inspire my new thinking regarding course development and creativity. And the next time somebody asks me this question, I know that I'll have a better answer and I'll be better able to articulate my thoughts regarding this matter. So thank you so much for listening, and I'll talk to you later.